It is 10 past 8 on ABC Radio Hobart, ABC Northern Tasmania, and I just want to say a special hello to all of the people tinkering away in their garages, because I've got it on pretty good authority. There's quite a number of you listening tonight, and you tune in for this segment with Mark Habiddle from Supercar Secrets. So for all the tinkerers, the classic car lovers that are listening right now, a special hello. Now, I wonder if anyone listening has heard of the slang term fezzer, because I definitely hadn't. Apparently, it's a nickname for a Ferrari, and I'll explain more in a minute. But first, I want you to start texting. If you've got an older car that you want valued, or maybe it's a car you're thinking about buying, you want it to appreciate, or maybe you're hoping to inherit a really nice car, text the details right now, 0438 922 936. Also, you can call. You can call and chat with Mark. Three of us can have a chat. 1300 222 936. Welcome to Evenings once again, Mark. Hello.
Hi, how are you this week?
Yeah, great, thanks. So tonight we're starting off full throttle. We're going to chat about the abandoned classic car that emerged from someone's garage, and it is set to fetch a staggering amount at auction. It is a Fezzer, I understand, and yes, by that I meant a Ferrari. So what type is it?
It's a 330 GT, 1964 330 GT. I think some of the photos are available online at the moment, and as anyone will see, it is the ultimate barn find. I think every panel's a different colour, and it's very rusty.
But what makes it special then? Why is it going to fetch a staggering price if it's a bit rusty?
Yeah, just the old scenario of rarity, really, Kylie. I mean, there wasn't too many right-hand drive cars built, and there was only 40 ever brought into the UK, which is where that car is. And out of that, there's probably, 12 or 13 left in existence now that have been restored. So a super rare car, and as you know with these cars, Kylie, if they're rare, they're very valuable. And certainly as it's a Fezzer, as you said, up goes the value. So I think the auction estimate on that is around about £70,000, which is around about $140,000 Australian, and then really the new owner would need to take it away and spend about $500,000 rebuilding it to its
Ooh,
former glory.
Ouch, yeah, that's quite a bit. So what did the owner pay for it in the beginning when it was purchased? I believe it was 1971 when it was purchased.
Yes, indeed. He bought it for the princely sum of, I think, £1,750, so about $3,500. And yes, expecting to get 70,000 now, so that's a fairly significant climb. But it has been a while.
And so, how long was it stuck in that garage? I mean, how long was it forgotten and just sitting there?
Oh, look, I think the guy just forgot about it and parked it up for about 50-odd years. I mean, the whole time since 1971, I think.
Wow. And where was it exactly? What part of the UK?
It was south of London, where it was originally found. And interestingly enough, one of our good friends who will be running that auction is Nick Wells, and he was the one that discovered it. So, yeah.
And did it have very low mileage despite being a bit rusty?
I think it's got 45 or 46,000 miles on the clock. So it would have been driven from 1964 through to 1971, fairly regularly, and that would have built those miles up. And then it would have been parked up and more or less forgotten about, I think.
Yeah. Hey, few text messages coming in. This one from Gaz. Gaz says, "G'day, Kyle. I've got an 89 Saab 900 turbo convertible, black, cream interior, great condition, but it's got 200,000 Ks on it." He says, "Is it worth anything?"
Yeah, the problem with those Saabs is when you look at them, and they were actually a pretty cool car, and as a convertible, they were a really cool car, but they're not worth that much. And the electric hood that they have causes enormous problems, so they're really not worth a great deal. I mean, probably last year, as with everything, they were much lower than they are now. They were probably about 5 or 6,000, but it'd be struggling to make 12 or 13 now. They're not really worth that much.
Sorry about that, Gaz. Gaz is like, oh dear, he's not going to be able to retire now. Another one, this is from John. He says, g'day, Kylie. I've got a 1971 Holden Belmont Ute HG. That doesn't mean much to me, the HG, but he says it's always been in our family since my dad bought it brand new. It has a bit of patina on it. Does that make sense? So maybe it's a typo.
Patina.
Oh, okay. But it always starts. It goes great. He says it's all original with the exception of half the seats. They've had to change them. Apparently there was a few rips. So what about that one, do you think?
Yeah, look, that's worth a lot more. A Belmont U, particularly an HG, they're very rare now. I mean, I can't even recall the last time I saw one. If it's got reasonable mileage on the clock, like sort of sub 100,000, it would be worth the other side of $50,000. But if it's got higher than that, it's going to be less. It's going to be somewhere between 40 and 50. But the patina that he refers to basically means that it hasn't been repainted, or not recently anyway. So some of the paint will be missing, and it'll look very good because of that. It'll look very original, like a lot of the American people, owners in the States, they do that. They drive around in utes that have not been repainted. That's a bit of a fashionable thing now, having the original patina. So, yeah, somewhere between 40 and 50 for that. I mean, it's a long way from where they were at sort of $3,000 or $4,000 a few years ago.
John will be a happy man, no doubt. Text in the K's if you want, and we'll try and further value it for you. Now, I want to change. There's a cool magazine that's reporting on all things of interest to car enthusiasts. I'm sure they all know what it is. But would you recommend this magazine to our car loving enthusiasts? What is it exactly?
I'm allowed to name it.
Well, I think so. I mean, I think it's a case of, you know, it is a car enthusiast segment, so I don't think there's any crime in that.
Yeah, and it is an English magazine after all, so it's thoroughbred and classic cars, and the guy that does the write ups on the values of the cars over the past 3 months is a guy called Russ Smith that we know quite well, and he's. He just is an absolute legend at recording information from all over the world in all kinds of ways, from online to auctions to adverts to everything. And he collects all the information and puts it on page 17 every month of Thoroughbred and Classic Cars. And it's great for people to be able to read on some of the rising and falling values of cars, you know.
And can you tell me about the latest one, the V-Dub Karmann Ghia? I've always liked those cars. Now, I don't know the T34, and I believe it's that one that is skyrocketing. But tell us about this.
Yeah, look, the T34 was a bit of a different version of a Karmann Ghia. It's sort of lower and flatter, and it has different rear lights. And it's a different, you know, it's still got the same overall shape of a Karmann Ghia, but it's kind of longer and slimmer and lower. They are quite a nice car, actually. And Karmann Ghias, they had a bit of a rise a few years ago. They haven't really risen that much lately for the ordinary Karmann Ghia, but the T34 is a bit special. So, they're up 42% over the last 3 months. So, I'm not
42%? That's a lot.
Yeah, they're quite rare. I'm really not surprised. If anything, I'm surprised they haven't risen by more, because they're a rare vehicle, the T34, you know.
Can you just give us a bit of a description? Because for anyone, I know the standard-looking Karmann Ghia, but for anyone who can't conjure up an image, I mean, even the standard one's quite hard to describe.
Yeah, look, it is, because it's not the same as a Beetle. It's, you know, I mean, they're based on a Beetle. So, you know, VW Beetle chassis and floor pan and an engine and so on. But you know, a Karmann Ghia doesn't look like that. They look far more like a more classical coupe, I suppose you could say. So a T34 is it's lower and flatter. It's got a sort of more angular front end than the ordinary Karmann Ghia, and it's not quite as curvy as the conventional Karmann Ghia.
I'm going to Google it afterwards. Now, the Datsun 240Z, the price has risen for that as well. Well, in fact, by a lot, I believe. How much?
I think they're up about 25% over the quarter, and not surprising, really. We've got a lot of 240Zs that we bought years ago, and they've already had one really big rise anyway, which was probably 2 years ago now. So they had a real boom where they sort of tripled in the space of about 9 months. And then they flattened out for a little while, and now they're going again. So up 25% again now. So that's good news.
Yes, indeed. Now, if anyone wants to text into the program, 0438 922 936. If you've got a classic car and you want to get a bit of an idea what it might be worth, send a message right now. We've got about another 10 minutes or so, so you can still get in, or you can call, of course, if you're not shy, 1300 222 936. Now, a Volvo 760 Turbo, why do you think they're growing so much in popularity?
Yeah, well, it's with those Volvos, it's the old story about the undiscovered. And someone suddenly discovered that 760 turbos go like a cut snake because they have a 5-cylinder turbo engine, and they were quick when they came out of the factory. They're still quick by today's standards. And if it had been the wagon, it would have been even more valuable. But they're really the only reason they've just sort of gone up now is literally because some of our collectors have suddenly remembered them. And some of the other people that know our collectors have gone, oh, remember the 760 Turbo? That was a rocket ship. Let's go out and buy some of those. And that's really how this spreads. You know, one person talks to another, and then they talk to another one, and then someone that talks to another one in another state, and they go, oh, those 760 Turbos, let's get one of those. And up they go. So I think that was 40%, wasn't it, from memory?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Anyone that's just joined the program and tuned in, turned their radio on, I'm chatting with Mark Haybittle from Supercar Secrets, and we're talking about classic cars. You too can join in if you want to. You just got to get on your text messages, 0438 922 936. The Ford Cortina Mark IV. Now, I don't even know the Mark IV. I just know what a Ford Cortina is, but risen 20% in the past 3 months. What is special about this car?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I was not expecting you to say that.
No, nothing at all, apart from there's very few of them left. They're a bit of a UK-only car. So you might recall that here in Australia we had the Mark 1 Cortina, then we had the Mark 2 Cortina, and then we had the Cortina that in the UK was known as the Mark 3, but here was known as the TC. And then the one after that was the Mark 4, which was the TD, and there wasn't too many of those around. They're quite a square Cortina, you know, rectangular headlights, square corners, square rear lights, and it's that one that's gone through the roof in the UK, and it's only because there'd be very few of them left, really. Most of them have gone to the meet the maker in the sky. Some would have been crashed, the other ones would have just rusted away, to be perfectly honest, but yeah, nice to see a rise for them. 20%, that's not bad.
I'd like to hear someone who just wants to brag about their car, because I know there's a few people with amazing Cortinas that have called in the program before, and not on this particular show but on a previous show. But if you've just got a really cool collectible car, anything, it could be an MGA, it could be an E-type Jag, maybe it's a racy sort of car, just tell us what it is. You don't even have to get it valued. Just brag, if you like. Tell us, 0438 922 936, because I know, Mark Haybittle, there are all these people listening, because I get secret little messages, people who listen, who collect cars and tinker away in their garages. I just want someone to, oh, look, the phone's ringing. People are going to tell us about their cool cars. But anyway, on some slightly more random questions for you, important nonetheless, what's your favourite colour on a car?
I'd have to say bright yellow, because I've got
no.
a whole load of, yeah, bright yellow. I've got a whole load of bright yellow Lotus Esprit V8 twin turbos, and they're all Norfolk yellow, and a few of them are only a few chassis numbers apart, but Norfolk yellow, love that colour. And my previous business, I had all my cars coloured yellow, the whole lot, which was a involved in rallying, and all my colours were yellow, and I love yellow.
That's just really funny, because I wouldn't think to get a yellow car. It sort of seems, I wonder what that says about your personality, because they say that red people with red cars have sort of certain personalities. We should do a segment on that. I'm not going to get into it today. But do you know what, why do you think that you gravitate to yellow cars? Because you're a positive, shiny sort of person?
I guess so. To be perfectly honest, the yellow thing started because I was doing so much rally driving at the time that I needed a colour of a car that would be good on television, because this was back in the days when they actually used to televise rallying, and when rallying was a really big thing, or relatively big thing, not, you know, compared to what it's like now where no one even knows what a rally car is. But at that time, I needed something that TV would see and TV would show, and bright yellow was the colour for that. And then I just fell in love with it after that. I just love yellow. I must admit, I do like red as well. Bright colours, anything that's not white or silver, I love. White and silver, I just can't see the point, really.
Bit boring.
Very boring. And as you probably gathered, I don't really fit into the boring thing.
Doesn't seem bored, like it. Now, what's the bet?
If I get bored, I go to sleep, Carly. That's what happens.
So now, what's the bet? We've got Jeff on the line. Jeff is no doubt not a boring guy if he likes collecting classic cars. Jeff has got a 1972 Valiant Charger. Is that right, Jeff?
Yeah.
How's it going? Good evening.
Yeah, it's good to be by my parents. I come back from Vietnam. It's a V8.
And, oh, wow.
And today, dark maroon, red and colours. That's new. I just recently fitted a new set of white wall tyres on it. They're hard to come by, but I've had the motor altered now so that it will run on 98 octane unleaded without putting that valve saver in. A mate of mine is a senior mechanic with Mercedes Benz. He fixed that all up for me, and she hums along the highway very nicely now. And I only use it twice a month. Take the wife to church. We still go to church.
Oh, sounds like an absolute beauty, Jeff. What do you think about that one, Mark Haybiddle?
Oh, look, they are absolutely off the charts on value. Our collectors, for that car there, our collectors would pay in excess of $200,000 for that car, probably $220,000 or $230,000. I mean, they're an extremely valuable, very rare, beautiful car. They're probably the best Valiant that there ever was, you know?
Ooh, you are sitting on a beautiful...
They was made in Adelaide by Chrysler.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, you are sitting on a wonderful car.
Yeah, they were along the similar lines to the Charger in the US, but they were different. They were locally built, but they were similar. They had a similar appearance, but they didn't necessarily share the mechanicals of the US cars, you know?
That's right. Well, thanks very much.
Lovely to chat, Jeff. Thanks for calling the program.
Yeah, bye. Thank you.
Wow, that sounds like a pretty impressive car, doesn't it?
Oh, if you were there with it, you'd have people literally lining the street to see it come down the street. They're a very special car. They're the same. They're a very similar shape and a very similar car to the Dodge Charger that was in the TV show Dukes of Hazzard. And that's pretty well what made Chargers famous, I guess, in many ways.
Well, it sounds like when he heads to church, then he'd get lots of interest as he's pulling up to church twice a month with his wife. That was a nice picture to imagine.
I would think so. I would think it'd be like royalty turning up. They're
totally
a great car. And as you probably know, Kylie, along with the sort of tribal following that we have here for Holden and then the same for Ford, there is a third tribal following, and that is the what we call the Mopar and Chrysler people that love Chryslers, and that includes Valiants, and that includes all of the early Chryslers, and that they're the third group, and very much, you know, as passionate as the Holden and Ford people.
Oh, yeah. What about those Chrysler Cruisers that came out some years back? People either loved them or hated them. What did you think of those?
Yeah, well, they were definitely a Marmite car. Initially, when they first came out, I thought they were pretty cool, actually. Then I went and drove one, and that was a bit of a disappointing experience. So I I decided I probably wasn't as excited about them as I thought I was.
Hey, we've had another message from John, who texted in earlier. He had the 1971 Holden Belmont Ute HG, and he said it's done 97,000 miles on it, but he's not actually sure if it's been clocked or not.
Right. Well, if he finds out that it hasn't been clocked, tell him to stop driving it and keep it under 100,000, and that'll keep it around the 50k mark. Whereas it would be 40k, you know, if it's found to be over that. And you can find a lot of the history of these vehicles online now by checking the chassis number and finding out, you know, previous mileages and histories.
Steve in Moona says he's got a 1979 Mark II Ford Escort RS2000. It's a four-speed manual. It's done 300,000 Ks. It's original except for mag wheels and a sports steering wheel and an all-original interior. Thoughts on that one?
Look, the RS2000s, certainly in the UK, the genuine RS2000s, two doors, because there's a big differentiation between the two-door and the four-door. But the two-door in the UK, RS2000s with the droop snook front end and the proper fishnet Recaro seats, all of that stuff, they're fetching £65,000 to £70,000, which is $140,000 for an Escort, for a Mark II Escort. There's people over there that basically worship the ground they walk, the cars come on. They'd love them, absolutely love them. But with Ks like that, it's a bit high on the Ks, and it would make a big difference as to whether it's a two-door or a four-door, and I'm suspecting it could be a four-door.
He says it's a Mark II. Does that tell you or not?
Yeah, no, not at all. No. It doesn't tell me whether it's a two or a four, but the Ks are certainly a bit high, and they don't fetch as much money as the genuine two-doors with the higher horsepower engine in the UK. But here, probably, it's hard to value with those many Ks on it, and I'd need to know the colour, and because it's quite specific with Escorts, but I'm thinking that probably about $20,000 to $25,000, and it would be a lot more if it was definitely a two-door, you know?
Well, if you want to be quick, Stephen, and either text us or call back 1300 222 936, let us know. But just deliver that information quickly to the producer so she can type it on the screen, and then I can ask Mark for you. Now, in the November issue, Mark, of Classic Cars magazine, I was seeing which car I liked the look of most, and I wasn't checking the prices or anything like that. I thought this looked really cute, the Ford Anglia 105-123E, like the flying car in Harry Potter, but this
absolutely.
One was a mint green one.
Absolutely. And guess what my parents had as their first new car?
What? That?
One of those.
You're
Anglia.
Joking.
I was driven around all of the United Kingdom in the back of an Anglia, a maroon Ford Anglia. Well, so I actually got driven around in the Harry Potter car. I suppose that's probably where the love for cars started, you know?
Oh, that's fantastic. Hey, we've got another text. Oh, no, he called through. This came from Stephen, who was in Moona. It is definitely a two-door. It is definitely genuine, in reference to the 79 Mark II Ford Escort RS2000.
Right.
So it's a two-door, it's genuine, and he said it's lemon lime in colour, and it's the official colour.
Yeah, that's right. That was one of the colours they were produced in. Well, if it's definitely a two-door, it basically would be at least double of what the four-door was worth. So 40 to 50K for that. But there is a, you know, if it's an Aussie spec one, there's a big difference between the Australian spec one and the UK spec one. But still somewhere between 40 and 50K. They're very, very sought after now. Two-door RS2000s, very sought after. And they're a pretty sexy-looking thing. They have a droop snook front end with four headlights, you know.
It's an Aussie one, 2,400 made in Australia, according to Stephen.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah, okay, well, so about 40 to 50K for that. That's the Aussie one. There's a big difference in spec between that and the UK one. The UK one came out with more horsepower and fishnet. It had these special Recaro seats with fishnets in the headrests, like a fishnet-like design on them.
Yep.
They are a very sought-after car. RS2000s are like gold bars now.
I've just been Googling, by the way, the Karmann Ghia, the one that we were talking about earlier.
Oh, the 234.
Yeah, you know what? They are very cool, but I actually like the original, less valuable ones. I like that body shape better.
Yeah, so do I. And it's funny because Shirley in the UK, my business partner, she always said, oh, common gears are going to really take off. And I said, oh, I can't really see it. And, you know, so we had a bit of a disagreement over it. But in the end, she was right and I was wrong. So there you go.
Be like Shirley.
Yeah, well, you were dead right on those, yeah.
Good on you, Mark. It's been lovely having a chat. And I just want to remind everybody, ahead of next week, we won't have an evening show, but we will be back the week afterwards. And to get your questions ready, because it's a popular segment and you need to text or call in early. Have a great night, Mark.
And you, Kylie. Have a great one. And I'll see you, what, next week or the
week
after?
Week after next.
Week after. I'll catch you then.
Mark Habiddle from Supercar Secrets at 25 to 9 on ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania.